Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as he always does on Friday afternoons when we talk about tech things, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Remember, no matter where you go, there you are.
Very pithy.
Thank you.
So today we wanted to have a little chat.
Yes, actually, we wanted to have a little chat about a chat protocol or a chat system that predates the World Wide Web. And this is a request from Charles and also from Christopher. These are two independent requests. Both Charles and Christopher wanted to hear a little more about IRC or Internet Relay Chat.
Yeah, actually, it dates back to 1988.
Yes.
So this is a pretty robust protocol to have made it, good almost 22 years now. It's August of 1988 is when it started to make its appearance, and as a matter of fact, that was sort of my introduction to the internet, and I say sort of because it wasn't exactly IRC. I became acquainted with using online services through a similar system called BitNet Relay Chat. And as a matter of fact, one of the founders of IRC, and I'm probably totally mispronouncing this, Jarkko Arkkonen, who is a Finn, he apparently took some of his direction from using BitNet chat. And the two systems really aren't all that different, but it is a much different system, or at least it's a different protocol from what you would see for so many of the other different internet uses.
Right. And leading up to IRC, before that, there was a program called Talk.
Oh, yeah, I remember Talk.
And Talk was really, it's like what would happen if you were to phone someone and it's just a regular phone line. And so it's two people, one person on either end, and that's the extent of that conversation.
Yes.
That was the limitation of Talk. And really, the I'm not even going to try and say his name because my Finnish is terrible. I'd be finished myself.
Yeah.
At any rate, our intrepid inventor thought, well, why should we be limited to having two people in a single discussion when the internet really gives you the opportunity to connect with people all over the world? Why does it need to be a direct connection between two? We could have a centralized connection where a connecting point where thousands of people potentially could join in and have a conversation.
Yeah, systems like Talk and other early different communication protocols like YTalk and XYZZY. You remember that one? We're seriously talking like your whole screen would essentially look like a divided window and two chats. You would see what the other person was typing, and it wasn't even integrated like AIM or ICQ or any of the other chat services that are in use today. It's like, this is everything your friend has said, and this is everything you have said in reply. So you could go back and forth between the other. And gradually, the idea of internet relay chat actually would divide up the service into different channels. And, theoretically, you could be talking about, a whole different conversation on one channel where from the people who are talking in other channels. So it's basically one service where everybody goes, and you can go from channel to channel and talk about whatever is the topic of the day or topics of the day are.
And depending on when you used IRC, because it did evolve over time.
That's
significantly
true.
In fact.
Oh, absolutely.
You
yes.
could occupy multiple channels at one time, depending on their client. Client is an important thing that we should talk about very quickly. So you've got a server that's hosting this program, the IRC program. Mm-hmm. In order to access that information, in order to be able to participate in these conversations, you as a user would need to have a client. And there were different ways of getting clients. You could compile a client, get source code, and compile your own client if you were using a Unix-based system, which would require a level of tech savvy that is beyond my own means, just because I've never used a Unix system.
You've never used Unix?
Well, I mean, that's not entirely true. But I've never.
I was gonna say, I thought you had.
I've never owned any sort of machine or worked exclusively on a Unix-based machine. I've worked, and my time with Unix has been very limited.
I understand.
So I would not be able to do this. I just don't have that knowledge. I mean, it's not that I couldn't learn. I just, if you sat me down in front of a computer right now, I'd be like, help. Or maybe / help. But once you had a client to access this, then you could go and start having a conversation with other people. Now, some people have a little difficulty grasping the whole client concept, but I'll give you a very simple analog to that. Mm-hmm. Your web browser is essentially a client. It's a client that lets you access the World Wide Web.
Yeah, I think this is a good time to remind people, too, that the web is only part of the internet. The internet itself is a network of networks. It is
and
more or less
with
the
multiple
network
protocols
networks,
running on it, hundreds of them actually.
Yeah, you've got your mail protocols. You have the World Wide Web. You can still do things like use Gopher or Waze or IRC or all these different
Usenet.
Other things. Yeah, Usenet. And we should do a podcast on that.
Yeah, we should.
There are a number of things that travel over the internet, and IRC is just one of those protocols that can be used that way. So yeah, you need, in order to actually access that service, though, you need a program that can understand that traffic and make it into something useful for you. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of ones and zeros.
So back when IRC was really pretty young, you would be using one of these clients that you would have to have installed on your computer. You would have to have either built it or had someone else build it for you. today, it's a little different. You can actually find clients that are built into web pages.
Yeah.
So that you could go to a web page and log into an IRC chat area, and you never have to worry. It does all the work for you. All the coding and everything is essentially hidden away from you, and you can just log in. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the commands are all going to be intuitive to you, because it turns out there are lots and lots of different commands that you can use within IRC while you are having conversations. And some of them are very basic things, like being able to create a channel so that you have a separate channel that you can go into and have other people go into if you want to take part of a conversation away from the main room that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
The idea here being that perhaps maybe you and three other people you find out are all huge fans of a particular book series, let's say.
Yes.
But that the room in general doesn't have that interest. Well, the polite thing to do would be to create a room specifically for you and your three new book friends to go to and have a conversation that doesn't interrupt the flow of the general conversation.
Yeah, in IRC it's considered pretty rude to have off-topic conversations. Now, there are some channels that are generic.
Yeah, kind of free for all.
Yeah, and usually on, I was going to get into some more depth on this. Let's just say usually there is something called a channel called Talk or Chat. These are very, very generic, but if you were, and they also often have a description that goes along with it. So you might have a channel for, say, Terry Pratchett. Let's go with an author.
Okay.
Your channel would want to do something descriptive, and generally in the title of the channel, the channel name, you would often see the topic or a topic with a little descriptive material, like, you know, Terry Pratchett, the greatest author ever, or something like that.
Or it might just be something as simple as hashtag Pratchett fans.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, that's something else to remember too, is the hashtag is generally what shows you that it's a channel name.
Right.
Which is important both for the command and, to identify where you are in IRC.
Yeah, because it can get kind of confusing. I mean, you also create a nickname when you go to an IRC chat room. So, you know, you might have one assigned to you, or you can always choose your own. Some of them even allow you to register your nickname. It uses a thing called NickServe, which disappeared for a while off of IRC. It was hosted in Germany for a while, then disappeared, and then came back, which it's really just an administrative system that keeps nicknames and passwords together so that you can reserve a nickname. Because, of course, otherwise what will happen is if you log off, then anyone else could log on, choose the same nickname you use, and then that can cause confusion, whether it's intentional or not, right?
Right.
Like if you have you want your nickname to be Optimus Prime or something.
Okay.
Where it's, you know, well, something where it's really identifiable and presumably more than one person could choose it just, you know, just by chance, not necessarily by design.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've had that happen to me on different channels. And again, now's a good time to point that out. There are actually a number of different servers that take different IRC protocols. So there is not one standard IRC that is roaming around the world. And apparently in the past 22 years or so, there have been disputes between people who are running IRC. So you have, the IRCNet, which is part of the original group. And then you have EFNet. I remember UnderNet also being a very, very large group of IRC folks, and they also maintain multiple servers in those groups. And from what I can tell, it appears that from time to time, the people behind those services have maybe butted heads with one another. Because when I started looking up commands, I noticed they were different. Some of the commands were different than what I had remembered. I imagine that's probably because they have updated that, but I understand that having multiple nicknames and the way to deal with those has also been an issue between the different server organization groups, the networks of IRC servers.
Sure.
So they may be running slightly different versions of, you know, the IRC protocol.
And when you have these issues, like let's say that I logged into IRC and realized that the handle I wanted has been taken by another user. And let's say even that I've used that handle in the past on IRC.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot you can do about it. I mean, you can message the person and say, hey, dude, that's kind of my nickname. I'm kind of known for that nickname. Do you mind logging off so I can have it? Because you can't take someone's name. You can't take someone else's name if they are currently logged into the system.
Right.
You could add a number at the end. So, you know, I could become John Strickland 1 or John Strickland 2 or something like that, but I wouldn't be able to be John Strickland if someone had already taken that name on IRC.
Right.
If I had not been able to register it. The same thing goes for channels. Let's say you want to create a channel and someone's already taken the channel name that you wanted. It's like the exact same sort of situation. You'd have to message that person and ask them nicely if they would relinquish that channel name for you to be able to use it.
Yeah.
And if they say no, then, you know, that's kind of tough luck for you. It's not like someone taking a nickname or taking a channel name is a bootable offense. You know, they're not going to get an administrator to boot that person. So there's certain basic commands that everyone has access to.
Yes.
More or less, mm-hmm. depending on the version of IRC you're in. But things like slash nick, oh, and they all have slashes that precede the command.
Yeah. If you just start typing when you're in a channel, everyone in the room is going to see the message, the words that you are typing.
Right.
As soon as you hit return.
Yeah.
It's not real time like
that. So if you leave that slash out instead of the command that you were hoping to execute, it'll be as if you said, quote unquote, said that in the room.
Yeah. So a forward slash precedes the command, and then any strings that you need to include after that, of course, you would want to leave a space in between. So.
Right. So if I wanted to create my nickname, mm-hmm. I would do slash N-I-C-K space John Strickland.
Yes.
And that would change my generic login name was to John Strickland.
Yep. And then if you wanted to join the Tech Stuff channel, you would do slash join and then a space hashtag Tech Stuff.
Right.
And that's how you would join the channel.
And there are other basic commands like quit. Clearly, that would make you quit out of the IRC client. Help, which would get you more information. Who is, which would give you information about a particular person logged in under a handle. You would do, you know, the slash who is, all one word, W-H-O-I-S, mm-hmm. and put in the name, which may or may not give you a good amount of information. All depends on how the person's set his or her account, or who was even
yes.
at work.
Mm-hmm.
If the person has recently changed the nickname or disappeared, slash away lets people know that you are not paying attention to what's going on in the chat room at that time. So maybe you know have to get up and go to the restroom or make a cup of coffee or put out a fire or walk a dog or apologize profusely to a spouse. Then that would be a good thing to put so that people know that you're not paying attention to the screen.
I'm sorry, what?
That last one happens a lot to me. There's also a way of sending private messages to people. You can do slash MSG mm-hmm. and then a message, and that sends it. Instead of going to the room in general, it'll send it straight to another person.
Yeah, that's embarrassing because I thought that that was the way to put monosodium glutamate
into a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were like frantically trying to poison people, and it turns out you were just saying hi.
Yeah, exactly. They were rebuffing my attempts to poison them with MSG, they could be slash ignoring me.
Yes, that is a very useful command if you ever run into trolls. The administrator of that channel, the operator of that channel, doesn't necessarily care if there's a trollish person in there. Ignore is your friend.
Yes.
And if you are a channel operator, if you're the person who owns the administrative power of that channel, you have other commands that are at your disposal, including mm-hmm. things like, you know, usually there's a kick command
yes.
where you
mm-hmm.
can kick people from the room if they're being really obnoxious. And along with other ones, you can even ban people from a room. And sometimes there's different settings, like you can ban that one user, or you can ban anyone from that particular user's domain. I mean, it can get pretty nasty, depending on the rights that the channel op has. And also you can accidentally, or well, you can give other people operator rights as well.
Yes, she can. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not careful, you can give other people operator rights and relinquish your own rights, and then next thing you know, you're at the whim of somebody else.
Yes.
And there are even ways where, if people trick you into typing a certain kind of string, that's essentially what happens. You give over the right of not only of the channel, but you could actually give over the ability to control the client. And the person could control your IRC client. You could accidentally relinquish control if you posted the right command in there.
Honestly, I'd never heard of that happening.
Yeah, it's actually, if you look at, there's a couple of really good IRC frequently asked question files out there on the mm-hmm. on the web, and a few of them will tell you. They don't tell you specifically what the string is, but they will say, you know, do not, if someone gives you a string of seemingly random commands and says you need to type this in because it'll solve your problem or whatever, you should not just automatically do that, because there are commands that can end up coming back to haunt you when you hand over, essentially you hand the steering wheel over to a maniac.
Yes.
And then they laugh at you and say, haha, we tricked you, and now, all your base belong to us. Someone set us up the bomb.
Speaking of which,
yes,
should we mention bots?
Bots, yeah. All right, so bots are an automated program, an automated,
yes.
Essentially it's like
a script, really.
A script, yeah. And it's a script that often takes the form of what looks to be a normal IRC chatter.
Yeah. And basically they can stay in the channel. Say if you own a very popular channel, and you don't want to lose control of it, but everyone's going to bed, your bot could be sitting in there for you. And as a matter of fact, a bot can automatically be configured to give people operator privileges.
Yeah, you can
your buddies, your most trusted buddies, when they pop in, it'll automatically give them ops. And then as soon as they do that, they're running the channel even when you're not there.
Yeah, you can script a bot to do lots of different things. It doesn't have to just... it doesn't have to just sit there.
Yeah.
In other words, the reason, as Paulette was pointing out, the reason why you would want to have a bot sit there would be so that you could hold on to a certain channel name and you wouldn't have to worry about someone stealing it once you logged off. You would have a squatter, essentially.
Yeah.
But you could also give a bot, I've seen, there's one IRC chat room I occasionally go into that has a bot that what its main purpose is to scan for any instance of foul language. So it essentially is scanning everyone's lines, and if words that match up to its database of naughty words pop up, it automatically boots you from the room. So if you were to say something that was, if you were to say an obscenity, type in an obscenity and into the main room, it would notice it and kick you from the room. Other things that it would kick you for are things like if you typed in all caps, because that's the equivalent of shouting online. I mean, in text-based chat rooms, all uppercase is like you're yelling. And just like any other party, no one wants to be around the guy or girl who is screaming at the top of his or her lungs and thinks it's funny.
Yes, that is correct.
I can say that specifically after working for now, as of the time of recording this podcast, 5 weekends at the Renaissance Festival, the loud ones are the ones that always think they are the funniest people, and they are always wrong. Unless it's me.
Right.
There is that exception to the rule.
So if you wanted to join IRC, you don't have to really do all that much. As long as you're on the internet, you should be able to... choose a client. There are many, many free IRC clients, or as Jonathan pointed out earlier, you can go on the web to certain sites and access from there. There are clients also that you can pay for as shareware clients. If you're really, really getting into the IRC thing, they might have specially configured windows that you can use that just make life easier. They're pretty neat. You can even find them for smartphones now.
Mm-hmm.
Although I wouldn't recommend IRC and driving at the same time.
Actually, I wouldn't recommend being on IRC on a mobile phone anyway, because
it's teeny tiny.
It's so hard to keep up with, especially if you tend to frequent rooms that have a lot of people in them.
Yes.
And the one I was talking about earlier, It often has more than 100 and sometimes more than 400, and at peak times nearly 1,000 people in it.
Wow.
That's pretty
significant for an IRC chat room.
Yeah, this is a specific chat room that's a fan chat room for a technology podcast that I listen to while they're doing it live.
Right.
Unlike our technique, where we pre-record everything and no one gets to hear it while we're doing it, this other podcast, they stream it live and then upload the actual podcast.
Right. I think I know the one that you're talking about.
It's the one I got to be a guest host on.
Right.
Which would be a Buzz Out Loud for CNET. Might as well go ahead and say it. So anyway, occasionally I'll be in that IRC chat room. And I've tried to log in through my phone before. And the problem, of course, is there's two problems. One, it's really tiny, so it's hard to read. But also, because the chat room is scrolling so quickly, and because my phone is just occasionally getting updates through the cell tower, because I don't have the Wi-Fi turned on necessarily. The updates come in little bursts. Mm-hmm. So not only are lots and lots of people talking, but I'm getting them, all at once, and so everything scrolls off the screen, and there might be something that I was trying to read that was referenced to me, and then I have maybe a couple seconds to read it and process it before it's gone. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a frustrating experience. Another frustrating experience with IRC, something else that can happen, is net splitting.
Oh, yes.
You're familiar with the net splits? Net splits are terrible.
Yeah, that actually used to happen to me on BitNet as well, part of the if you remember our podcast a little while ago on how the internet works, essentially, we went through the internet infrastructure. Everything is connected to everything else and multiple redundant connections. And then every once in a while, part of the net gets separated from the other part of the net.
And they have to find an alternate route to move that data through. But in the meantime, there's an interruption in service.
Yes, and you're going, what happened?
Yeah, net splits, from your perspective, if you're in an IRC chat room and a net split happens, it seems really weird. It seems like tons of people just left the room for no apparent reason.
Yes.
Not everybody, because the way IRC works is that it's actually a network. Each IRC, there are like multiple IRC networks on multiple servers.
Yes.
And you're not all on the same server, even if you're on the same network. So you could all be on the same channel chatting, but you're not necessarily all logged into the same server. You're logged into the same network. So there might be some people that are logged onto one server on the West Coast. You're logged into another server on the East Coast I'm talking about the United States, but really this applies anywhere. And let's say that the connections between those two servers get severed for some reason. Something somewhere along the pathway fails. Mm-hmm. You would each be in your own instance of that network, that channel, and to you, it looks like half the room just disappeared. The other half's still there chatting, but you're like, where did everyone else go?
Yes.
They're the same way, except they're on the other side. They're like, where did all those guys go? Once the connections get corrected, once the data finds a new path to follow, everything gets reabsorbed and suddenly the room is what its normal size again. There's, everyone's together. It can be very frustrating, particularly like I was saying, that CNET one that I go to. When net splits happen, I'm always on the server that is not with the main room, not with like all the hosts and most of the people with whom I chat. They are fine. They're all together. Me and like five other folks, are sitting there twiddling our thumbs and thinking, I bet there's lots of funny stuff being talked about right now, but I can't see it.
You think they're trying to tell you something?
I have no idea. But at any rate, there's no way for you to correct it on your end.
No,
you have
there's
to
nothing wait you can really
the,
do.
Yeah, you have to wait till the data can find a new path. And I really did not have a lot of experience with IRC until fairly recently because, as it turns out, you said that IRC was kind of your introduction to the internet.
Yeah.
My introduction was Telnet. I was using Telnet protocol to Telnet into chat rooms. So you would log in remotely to some computer that's running a chat room program. So it's different from the IRC network model. And so it's a totally different set of commands as well, which was made it very confusing for me when I first started using IRC because I was thinking about the old Telnet commands.
Yeah.
And you can always tell a Telnetter on an IRC, or at least you used to. It doesn't happen as much now. But you could always see because they would say things like, say, hi there. They would actually, they're typing in the command that you would normally have to type in Telnet in order to say something. Yeah. And all the IRCers are like, look at this bozo. Doesn't know he doesn't have to type say or, you know, doing a quotation mark at the front of his sentence. And so, yes, I was that bozo. I still am that bozo. It's just that now I know better.
Well, it does. Never mind.
Yeah. That's the big red nose.
Yes,
and the fact that every day I played the grand prize game at my cubicle.
Yes. Anyhow, yeah, it's actually quite impressive, I think, in a lot of ways that this this chat protocol is still as popular as it is. But it doesn't show any signs of falling by the wayside anytime soon. As a matter of fact, all the just about all of the major multi-protocol chat clients offer an IRC option.
Right. So, and we didn't even go into the fact that you can use IRC to send files, even if you wanted
to. That's true.
We were mainly talking about the chat aspect, but there's a lot more to it than what we're going into. We're just talking about the main use that, or I think the most popular use for IRC, which is to have conversations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good conversation right there, and we're going to wrap it up. I do not have any listener mail to follow it up with. I've got tons of listener mail, don't get me wrong, but they're all asking for a podcast on a specific topic, so it's nothing that we could address very quickly.
Right.
So we're just going to wrap this up. Thanks a lot for that request. It was a fun thing to talk about. We like looking at the history of the internet and the early protocols that are still around, and the early uses. So keep those requests coming in, and Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new TechStuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.